You know what? I had a personal medical issue and we took a week off and now I'm back. So cut me some slack. Why are you so stressed out? Why are you so mad about free content? Why? What schedule? I explained myself to you and you still wasn't enough for some of you. You were like, well, I don't know. I mean, that's not really enough of a reason. Baby, I don't have to give you a reason. I honored you with the reason. I gave from my inside. I wanted to include you because you've allowed me to be with you. And then you decided to tell me that wasn't enough. Well, I'm not going to get above it. I'm going to fucking get below it. So guess what? Don't ask me shit. You just take from me what I give to you. You don't ask questions. You don't ask your parents, why do we do this? Why can't I go there? Because I said, that's why I wasn't here. But now I'm back. And I put on a big wig for you. Well, I didn't put it on for you. I put it on for me. You get to enjoy it as like a default. You know that. I do what's very Delta. We do what's very Delta, what's very Joshua, what's very Adrian, what's very all of us. You know what's not very? Is to get mad at people because they're having a medical issue. I jumped in front of it and you were still like, oh my God, I have to let this person know that it's okay this time. No, it's okay every time. Girl, she got pink eye and told everybody and they said that wasn't enough of a reason. So guess what she said? Guess what she said? She said, fuck. I get pink eye, so what? Don't it make my brown eye? Don't it make my brown eye? Don't it make my brown eye bruised? Whatever. So what? And I didn't even get like anything cool. Like nothing cool happened to cause it, right? Like I wasn't in a fight or I wasn't like, I didn't have my rhinestone rim chair up where like all these cheeks were in there. None of that. I was literally just out of town. I came back and I was like all, oh my God, what happened? And the thing is, I think that like, maybe there was like COVID in there or something too, because it lasted way too, it lasted like 10, like almost 10 days. And it's still kind of like, look at me. Look close. You see it? I'm not going to tell you which eye. You just look. You'll be able to see it.
M. Oh.
M. Mom. Are you a lady like me? Introspective, beautiful. Oh, are you intellectual like me? Beguiled by a bargain? You like wild times? Oh, like me? Are you serving the community like me? Well, if you are, then you must be very Delta.
I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta, a luxury public access podcast and YouTube talk show where I look gorgeous, speak extemporaneously, and invite fascinating people to sit on the couch and get Very Delta. Very Delta is for the woman who already owns the bottle, but will rub the magazine sample of perfume on her wrist just to experience the fantasy of the moment. But first, let's get into some things that are Very Delta. Wendy's got me so fucked up again. Surge pricing. Good luck. And the thing about it is, like, I am so gonna totally go crazy on somebody who is espousing bullshit, right? Like, full of shit, full bullshit, right? There's two camps here. And so if you try to, like, do something shitty, like change your prices. Do you remember when McDonald's pussied out? Like that documentary came out and they got all, oh, well, we know we offer healthy options. We have apple slices and we have, we don't have large sodas and all this. Are you serious? Like you, like, why? Why not just go, yeah, okay. Well, you're fucking out of control. Oh, well, don't, how about you don't order every meal at McDonald's and maybe you won't have that problem. I don't think it's the job of McDonald's or the job of Wendy's to pussy out. But if, so why not stand their ground? Do you see them? This is where I'm going with this. Why not stand your ground? Wendy's, if you want to raise your prices, fucking raise your prices. But their new thing, surge pricing, is going to be like Uber or Lyft or any of the Remember, there used to be another one too. What was it called? Was it Sidecar? I don't remember. Anyway, there was another. Regardless, what Wendy's has proposed is that they are going to do surge pricing, meaning when a lot of people are at their location and a lot of people are ordering something, they are going to determine the price of that item. Now, they're trying to back out of this by saying, no. We didn't say we were going to raise prices. We said we might offer a special deal when something like chicken fingers, or I don't know what else they have on their fucking menu, a baked potato or chili or spicy 10-piece nuggets. Can I tell you about the spicy 10-piece nuggets? I always feel like I have to go back and like let you know about something and then why the current thing is a fuck up. A couple of days ago, I was at Wendy's and I go to the drive-thru and there's a guy there and I'm not about calling people out and I'm not about, I am about calling people out. I'm not about outing people is what I'm trying to say. But there's a guy there, I swear, girl, when I say vibes, he has like homosexual vibology. He got that vibology, that F-A-G vibology. Like I felt it. I always feel it. But he's always on his game and she's always kind of like looking out the window. It's one of those ones where you drive up and the window's kind of high. So they already are like looking at you like that, right? So I go to this Wendy's all the time because they never fuck up. It's always great. And I don't feel like the first time somebody fucks something up, you have to be like, oh, their service is awful. No, it's going to happen. Shit's going to happen. And that's why when I go crazy, I'm like, it's happened too many times. So in this case, I went through and I ordered for three different people. And then at the end of it, I go, oh, I've got to add on that 10-piece nugget. So I said, can I please add on a 10-piece spicy nugget? And the guy says, yeah, absolutely. One more time, was it the 4-piece, the 6-piece, or the 10-piece? I said, it's the 10-piece. He said, would you like sauce? I said, I would like barbecue sauce. He said, does that complete your order? I said, yes, that completes my order. And then I drove up. Now, here's the thing. They don't have a digital thing. They don't have a display there. So you just have to go by what they read to you. So he had already read the order perfectly. And then when I added on those items and he confirmed the size, the flavor, and the dipping sauce, I thought that was the additional confirmation of the added item. Anyway, so I get to the window and then there's a lady there. And she's like, oh, your total's, you know, $2.01 or whatever the fuck it is for three people. Certainly not $2.01, not even for a fucking beverage anymore. But I go up and she tells me, your total is $7,000.42 for three people. So I hand her my card and she hands me the receipt and the card and the beverages. And she says, I'll be right back with your order. And she closes the window halfway. And I'm looking at the receipt and I say, you know what? I can see that they haven't written the nuggets down. So I'm thinking, and this is my anxiety, right? Like, because I know that I already seem obtuse by constantly asking for what it is that I paid for. And I know I'm going to have to end up sharing this. So I'm like, make this right, make this proper. So I thought, put the ball in your court. It's in her court, but put it in your court. So I said, excuse me. And she opens up. She goes, yeah. And that's already. Yeah. Like when your mouth is open, I already know you're a primate. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. So she's like, yeah. And I said, I didn't pay for the nuggets. And I just wanted to go ahead and let you know that I didn't pay for them. And I want to pay for them. That way, if they end up in the bag, I just don't want anyone to get in trouble. Now, that was my nice way of saying someone didn't put that on the receipt. I didn't pay for it. And somewhere along the line between the presumed homosexual and the primate chola that came to me, there was a miscommunication somewhere. Not a big deal. I know they probably make 5,000 nuggets at a time anyway. So she goes, what nuggets? And then I thought, all right, strike two. Ball still in my court. What am I going to do here? And I thought, I've had it. I've had it. Like, I don't need that. And I said, the nuggets that I ordered that were confirmed at the screen. And she goes, you didn't order no nuggets. I said, I did order nuggets, but if you didn't write them down, can I order them again? And she closes the window halfway, and I hear the homosexual go, "Is everything cool?" And she goes, "No, now they want to add food." And I had said, "Excuse me. Excuse me." I put my hand like this, "Excuse me." And I already knew Suzanne Sugarbaker was coming through. And I already knew my ancestors are behind me. Here comes Suzanne Sugarbaker. Here comes fried green tomatoes. Like, everybody's back there. Dixie Carter is on my shoulders. And I said, "Woo, excuse me." And she goes, "Yeah." I said, "I'm not adding food. I am telling you that somewhere between the two of you, the brain cells did not unite to honor what I fucking ordered. But I'm being nice about it because I know a lot of people are shitty, and you've had two opportunities to be nice, and now you're not being nice. So now I'm going to be meaner than you. I'm not adding food on. I wouldn't do that. I personally think that's a shitty thing to do. I really do. I will get back in line. Like, if something fucks up, I'm not going to like park the car and walk up and be like, oh, this is wrong. I'll get back in line and I'll just say, hey, or I'll park the car and I'll just go inside and say, hey, I just came through, you know, this happened, whatever. But when it's that shitty, I'm like, no, baby. I know this is your end game right here. I know this window, like, you feel like you're Rapunzel throwing your hair out. Like, you are the royalty. This will be your castle where you will die. This is the hill. This is not my hill. But I do keep coming back to these places because that's what's fucking around. You know what I'm saying? And they've never made a mistake before. At least, I mean, nothing as recognizable as that. So, you know, I thought, whatever. Not a big deal. I'll put it in, maybe it was my mistake. And the offering that up, like, what was my mistake? Oh, you know, I don't mind. And still she's like, no, they want to add food. Oh, bitch. I ought to grab you through the window, pull you into the car, roll the window up so just your head is in there, and fucking drive away into the night. That's what I want to do. That's what I really, really want to do. Just to set an example for the world. That's what I really, really feel like needs to happen. I feel like a lot of people need to shut their mouth when they're talking to me. What is so hard about going, oh, I'm sorry. And that guy, that homosexual, I see you back there. You should have come to the front and said, I am so sorry. We forgot about that. Not a problem. We'll add that on. I'm not asking you to come over here and fucking lick my ass. I'm really not. But I am expecting you to just acknowledge. Now, none of this would have been a problem if this old ass Wendy's that wants to surge their prices in 2024 could maybe get a little bit of that money and put up some monitors so you can read it and you could go, actually, no, the order is wrong. I added this on. The thing that you just repeated to me. Like, what else is happening in there? There's only one line and there was only one person running the microphone. Now, I can't fault Homegirl Primate up there at the window because she can only go off of what's printed. So maybe I have to fault that homosexual. Maybe I have to call you out. Come here. I want you to come right here. I want you to look me in the face and say that you did not confirm a 10-piece spicy nugget with barbecue sauce. It's okay. It's just a mistake. But when you lie to me, then we have a problem. I can't trust you anymore. How do you expect to go out to parties with your friends? How do you expect for me to allow you to have all the nice things that you want? I can't trust you. I can't trust you when you lie to your mother. Do you want to see me take a break? I think I want to see you take a break. You need to go on your 15.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies,
I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you.
Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah, and under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
The new Star series Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is. You won't be able to look away as you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Can you imagine setting your son up to seduce a king? Girl, I couldn't take my eyes off the screen as I watched this historical psychodrama unfold. The show is full of wit, scandal, and action in a genre-bending story that is as sexy and audacious as it gets. You need to check it out. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and on the Stars app. If you had a flesh-eating virus, what part of your body would you want it to whittle away? Like, would you want it to cut in your waist more, or like it, your
probably my feet, so I could get into smaller shoes.
Yeah, probably. I like that. My guest today is an international drag superstar. From Drag Race to All Stars to hosting her own drag competition, it's the gorgeous and lovely Manila Luzon. Hi, sis.
I love how you say gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Because you're like a gorgeous guest. A gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Or like, it's not like the gorgeousest.
No.
It's just gorgeous.
No, you're a gorgeous guest. You're not the most gorgeous. I mean, you're pretty gorgeous, though.
No, but you put a T on the end of it.
Right. Gorgeous-gist.
Gorgeous-gist.
Right. Because you're gorge a guest who's guest. Gorgeous.
Oh. Okay,
right, okay. Right.
We're just shortening. We're just combining words.
You are an icon.
Oh.
You're a sis. You're a Heather.
Hmm.
We first met on Drag Race.
Yes, we did.
And I think most people know that. But what were our first impressions of one another?
Okay, so I have this memory of us. It was the very first challenge when we had to do the photo shoot with the trampoline in the snow.
Uh-huh.
And they took all of us and they put us in like it was like an AA meeting where they had all the chairs in a circle.
Yep.
And we had to sit in there. And we weren't allowed to talk, and we didn't quite understand why we had to be on ice.
Uh-huh.
Like, we couldn't talk to each other. We found out later after RuPaul had said to Pearl, like, if it's not on camera, it doesn't exist.
Sure.
Which makes sense. So we were all kind of like, we didn't know each other. So, of course, they didn't want us to talk to each other because it was still, like, our first meetings. So we're sitting around, and you had this little ring with a bird on it.
Oh, I still have
and
that ring.
You do? Of course you do. We don't throw anything up. And we couldn't talk, but you were like making your ring tweet. You're like, chirp, 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 chirp. And they would say, no talking. And we're like, we're not talking.
We're chirping.
It's her bird.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And I think I was also making bird noises because I can make a cute bird noise. Like,
I have not heard you do that in forever.
Well, yeah, because, like, you know, you're not wearing your bird ring.
Right.
And we're not on ice.
You know what's funny? You mentioned birds. You know what I just bought is this birdhouse. I want to buy a chicken. I bought a birdhouse that hangs in the backyard, and it's Bluetooth operated, and it will send me real-time notifications of the bird and what kind of bird it is that's eating seed at that time.
So it's like a ring doorbell,
yeah,
but for your bird feeder.
Is that the cutest?
How does it I mean, I guess there's like AI.
Yeah.
It can... See, this is why when you're doing those CAPTCHAs and it's asking you what is a motorcycle, it's learning. Now it knows the differences between bird species. AI is taking over the world and it's smart enough to not let us know that it's smart enough and that it has sentience.
Do you have a favorite bird?
I have two, my birds. Remember, I have pet birds.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, you know what? I'm lying. I actually don't like my birds.
Why don't you like them?
Because because they don't like me.
Uh-huh.
And so if you don't like me, I can't like you. I'm not wasting my energy trying to get you to like me. And that includes the creatures that are living in my apartment right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is your, like, just overall favorite kind of bird? It doesn't have to be domesticated. It could just be, like, visually
I don't know.
You don't know? A flamingo?
No.
A macaw?
A big bird.
A big bird.
Yeah, how about that? That's a good Drag Race answer for you right there.
I mean, if you think about it, mm-hmm. I mean, this is obviously a beautiful custom outfit that you're wearing, but there are...
That I got from Facebook.
But well, wherever it came from, there's always an element of something whimsy in what you do, whether it's like super conservative, there is an element of whimsy. And this even has like the Big Bird sort of feathering in it, even though it's not, you know, you don't look like a bird. You don't look like crazy.
Well, I was trying to go for looking like a bird.
You were trying to look like actually Big Bird. A flamingo.
A flamingo. Big flamingo.
Right. And I just missed the whole thing.
You totally didn't get it, but I was going more subtle. No, I don't know. I just, I bought this suit and then I added these little feathers to it because I just needed to be more extra drag. You know, we like to, whenever you buy something like off the rack as a drag queen, like it's almost like your duty to like throw some rhinestones on it or style it so it's not just like how you found it in
right,
the store.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I remember in a recent season of Drag Race when Rue said something like, I don't want to see the H&M. And people, I think, took that very out of context because she did not mean that things cannot be, you know, $5. She didn't say that.
Yeah.
Her intention was just what you said. Just bring it to another level where it's personalized for you, where it seems a little more than the person sitting in the front row watching the show.
Oh my gosh. That is like one of the first things I learned when I was a drag queen. When I first moved to New York City, I went to H&M. I bought this really cute black and white bold pattern dress. And I was like some of my first times in drag when I was first moving to New York City. And there was a girl wearing the exact same dress as me. And mm-hmm. I was mortified because, girl, I had spent $34.99 on that dress. And honey, girl, this girl looks so, she was wearing it wrong, but she still looked better than me in it, which I was so mad about.
And how long had you been doing drag?
Like a couple years at that point, okay. Maybe. Like on and off. Like I wasn't like a professional drag queen until after I was on Drag Race. So right. Like, you know, that was kind of, you know, it was like one of the few times I went out and drag to party and to club.
Do you think at that time or at any point in the beginning you saw yourself as being a full-time drag entertainer? You were going to entertain in drag, host a show. Like, did you ever think that?
No, I didn't. I remember reading this book, and it was like this life story of a drag queen, and it was like it was recounting her actual life. I forget what the book was called, but
the life story of Jules Long Beach.
It was probably that. Did she write a book? Does she even read?
No, she can't read.
No, it's audio. I remember reading it and being like, God, I really wish that like my life, like I could do drag full time. I went to college. I studied, you know, graphic design. I had finally gotten a job as a graphic designer. And I thought like, okay, I'll just do drag for fun, you know. But I was reading this book and I was thinking like, wouldn't it be so cool if like my life as a drag queen could be interesting enough to warrant writing a book about it? Mm-hmm. But I was like, I was too chicken shit to like go and try to like get a show or even like honestly like perform. Because, like, the only things to do were, like, performing at, like, amateur night. And I kind of had a chip on my shoulder. Like, I'm too beautiful to do amateur night. Also, I'm not talented enough to win an amateur night. So I stayed away from amateur nights. So I really never did, like, you know, work. So, yeah, I never expected to still be able to be doing drag full time. Actually, I never thought that I was going to do drag full time, even when I went on Drag Race.
Really?
Well, because... You know, we were on season 3 together. Like, we only had the first season and the second season to really go off of.
Sure.
You know, now the queens, like, they go on to Drag Race with their merch already printed and their catchphrases already, like, you know, and their alliances and their, all of their stuff already pre-planned. Like, they know that they have the ability to make this something way bigger than what drag can be without the show. I didn't know that, you know? So I just thought that like after a year, if they did a season 4, that I would have to go back to my regular job. And now look at me, I'm like in the Philippines, like hosting my own show.
Right, right. Yeah. Which I mean, you know, I feel like you left Drag Race and I feel like you just kind of like left it running. And I feel like all of your gigs have always been very elite. I feel like they've always been really sickening gigs. And I think you're somebody who knows how to sort of package things like that to come to your expectation. And I think people should take advantage of that and watch that. When you say people have like this library of Drag Race they can look at, they do. And I, when I see people make these weird mistakes on the show, I'm like, baby, you watched all of us already make these mistakes. Realize that this type of alliance doesn't work. This type of fun shade that may be happening in a group is not being received as fun to other people, you know, or when you leave, like you say, people have their merch packaged up. What's weird to me about it is I think a lot of people really don't have a passion for drag. They just think this will be the easiest way for me to become a star in some manner, whether it's acting or singing or whatever. So they'll put out all these things, but like you truly enjoy all of the aspects that you do. And I feel like people should watch that, see that, study that, because if it's not your passion, it's totally going to show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that a lot of people now are starting to do drag because we... like, drag is a lot of fun. It's very glamorous. You get to travel around. So I see the I see why people are drawn to it. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's what's cool about drag. It's, like, because of the popularity of, like, Drag Race and drag in general, like, there are people that are doing drag that you never would see doing drag. Like, the sexy bartender with abs.
Right.
Like, Halloween, he's, like, paying the prettiest drag queen to, like, literally put him in drag because he needs to be not just a in drag, but he also needs to feel like the most beautiful drag queen.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, which is great. I love when, like, these, like, big, sexy muscle men are like, Manila, will you? Can I pay you to put me in drag? I'm like, fuck yeah. Sit down here, shave off that mustache. Let's do that. You know, but they'd like to do it for maybe like one day. Sometimes though, they really enjoy it. Like my drag daughter, Lexi Luzon, I hired her because I found her as a dancer and I needed a dancer to get in drag for a music video. And she loved it so much. And she's like, you're my mom now. I'm like, oh, okay. Was that easy? All right. Now she's a working drag queen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out in New York.
And she loves it.
I mean, yeah, right? Don't you love it?
I love drag.
Yeah, but we've been doing it for so long that we like those initial butterflies sometimes leave and it becomes like such like a tedious job. Like, oh, I don't know what else I can wear, what else I can do. It becomes like a challenge or a chore even.
Yeah, well, the face of it has definitely changed, and we should talk about that. Let's take a break.
A break.
We are back with Manila Luzon. You know, we were talking about doing drag and knowing it was something you were going to do forever. I can remember thinking to myself, it's what I wanted when I first went and saw Chad and all of the Dream Girls, and then they brought me in. And so I was working with the Dream Girls, I mean, a good 10 years prior to going on Drag Race. So I had that already with me. But when we talk about people looking back at that library of Drag Race, some of them are like, oh, you were on Drag Race? Like, because it's been so long ago. And naturally, I mean, I can't fault them. So when I see younger people that maybe get torn apart for not having certain reference points in movies, I have to think to myself, some of these people, like, they started drag 8 years after I left Drag Race. So their reference points
are... 6 months ago, right. Some of them.
So it is easy to say, oh, you should know this or you should know that. Well, I don't know some of the new singers. I don't know some of the new movies. So... by saying, oh, well, you don't have the reference point. I don't have their reference point. So it's not fair. We had Sugar and Spice here who are super, super, you know, they're so young and their reference points are different. But their reference points, they also have many older reference points as well, just because they love studying all of it. Lux Noir, like, loves all of these reference points. So younger, there's so many younger people that do have that. But they get lumped into this thing of like, none of you. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And I try to really check myself all the time and go, there was a point where you didn't have this.
Yes. You know? There was a point, yeah. But especially for when we were younger,
yeah.
There wasn't as much access.
Right.
You know, because we're from the 1900s, girl.
Literally.
Like, the internet didn't exist. You couldn't just go on your little, like, Palm Pilot phone or whatever and just look something up real quick. Like, you'd have to go to the library. The library girl.
The library.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I think we don't have excuses. You can't make up an excuse. Right. Like, oh, I don't know the reference because, like, girl, there's Google.
Right.
But I guess there's a lot of old references.
Yeah.
Which are getting lost. But I think that's one of the greatest things about drag queens is that we do, you know, kind of carry the legacy from what was before. You know, like, we are the ones that are, like, teaching the kids, like, you know what, girl, I'm going to do this old 90s house song. And, you know, like, you've never heard this shit before, but I love it and I'm going to perform it. And then all of a sudden the kids are like, oh, my God, I love this song. You know, that kind of thing.
It does happen that way. Yeah. It absolutely does happen that way. You were just in Vogue.
I sure was. Yeah. American Vogue. Yes. Yes. That's Anna Wintour's Vogue.
Honey, tell us.
Well, my journalist friend, Isabel Klieger, she is a travel journalist. Mm-hmm. And so she has, like, this incredible lifestyle where she gets to travel to all these different places and stay in these, like, 5-star hotels, and she gets treated to the nines and gets to eat at all these fancy restaurants. So she's my friend, and she was like, hey, I want to do an article with you. And she's like, about you when you're in Manila, for, like, people that, like, you know, for, like, maybe, like, gay or drag adjacent people, like, where does Manila go when she's in Manila? Mm-hmm. Like a little mini travel guide of, like, you know, what are the friendly, you know, clubs and hotels and restaurants and some queer owned businesses and designers and that kind of stuff. And then she pitched it to Vogue. And they snatched up the article. And so it was my birthday. And I was like, okay, well, we're going to do a photo shoot for my birthday. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool. So I got to wear some designer clothes. I got to shoot with an amazing photographer, a Filipino fashion photographer, Josh Tolentino. And I got to work with my style team, G Hoxson. Shout out, G. And my makeup artist and my hair people, and we, you know, we got this big fancy room at the Raffles Hotel, mm-hmm. and I got to spend my birthday, like, feeling like the Naomi Campbell, the, you know, Linda Evangelista moment. And yeah, that was really cool. And then, you know, it came out in January, and right when the second season of Drag Den was premiering on Prime, and so, like, it was like this, like, perfect little, like, yeah, I never thought that I was going to be in Vogue. I'm like a 42-year-old man in a wig. Like, what
yeah,
am I doing?
Yeah, you should be in Vogue.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I never thought in 100 years that I would be featured in an article in Vogue.
I thought so. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I will blow smoke up. I won't blow smoke up anyone's ass, but I will but I will praise the people that I bow down to. And I will always, always count you as fucking elite. And you deserve all those things because you earn all those things. And you share so many of your opportunities with other people. I can remember, maybe we talked about it before, but I'll talk about it fucking every time I'm in your presence. I can remember when we were in lockdown and there was hard for all of us to make money, and you shared an opportunity with a lot of people to make a significant check with Amazon. And we did something, and it was literally, you were like, we're going to figure this out. And the two of you, you and Michael, and you fucking figured this shit out. And it was amazing. And you do offer those opportunities to people. That's why someone like yourself is elite. That's why you deserve to be in Vogue. And that's why you were.
They really did leave it up to us, because I think that they wanted to have some images. And then, of course, I was trying to, like, you know, have my fantasy as well.
Right.
You know, and then also, like, everyone I got to work with, from, like, the designers and the, you know, even my nails. I got to, like, pick out all the stuff. And it was really nice of Vogue to feature a lot of these, like, Filipino designers, which is great, because the designers out in the Philippines are so creative, because mm-hmm. they take what is happening in the fashion world, but they, like, put their own Filipino spin on it.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. I got to wear this dress. It was actually a dress that I wore for the finale of the first season of Drag Den. And it was just sitting in the Philippines, you know, there with my stylist, and she's mm-hmm. like, you want to wear this? I'm like, yeah, because I never got a chance to photograph it while I was on set. And so I was like, yes, this is the dress. And it's like, it has, like, a carabao, which is like a water buffalo in the Philippines. Like, and has like this face on it. And it's very me. It's got like an animal. Like it's not just like a pretty sparkly dress. It's like it's got a carabao on it. And so I got to wear that like in the streets of Manila with a jeepney, which is kind of like their public transportation, like a rundown Jeep. Mm-hmm. And there were little Filipino kids running barefoot around. And we had to be like, I had to be like, okay, kids, like, don't get in our shot because, like, we don't have photo approval. Like, I don't know who your mom is. Right, like, right, get out of our shot. We were just kind of doing this photo shoot on the street, you know, guerrilla style. And so all the kids were like running around. They really had a great time, mm-hmm. like with this, you know, 7 foot tall drag queen and like this big photo shoot happening in the middle of the street where they were just kind of hanging out. So it was really fun.
Did they know that you were the drag lord?
They do now. Yeah. I hope so. I don't know.
Do you put that in your bio or like when you're like, are you like, hi, Manila Luzon, the drag lord?
Yes, I do. You should. Yeah, well, because like drag queen, like anyone is a drag queen now. Right. But like I am the drag lord of the drag cartel.
It's a religious
cartel.
Experience.
Well, no, it's not like a religious, it's more like drug lord.
You know? Okay.
Because like, drag den is a pun on, you know, drug den. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like we have the drag cartel.
What's the most glamorous drug?
I'm told it's probably cocaine, but I think it's one of my least favorite drugs out
really?
There. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think so.
Why?
Because it only lasts like a little bit and it's really expensive. Mm.
How much was it the last time you bought it?
I don't buy it, but I know that other people buy it. And I just get offered it. And then I don't know. Girl, are you having me here talking about drugs? Which we have an entire show about just my drug use, but I'm not encouraging anyone in any way to do drugs. Yeah, well, I'm a role model.
But this is so funny because like I'm 6 years older than you, but we're generationally around the same mm-hmm, time. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when it was like say no to drugs and the gateway drug and like you're going to be so pressured? I have never been pressured to do drugs. Like I've never had people that are like you cannot hang out with us unless you take some of my expensive drugs.
Yeah, in all reality, people don't want you to do their drugs.
No.
Like, even when you're like at a house party and some guy goes, hey, let's go to the bathroom. We're like, we're not in public. Like, we could do it right here. It's like, yeah, but I don't want anyone else to know that I'm giving you drugs because then they're going to want my drugs.
Right.
And drugs are expensive.
Right.
Yeah. I do remember like doing Dare. Like, you know, in grade school. And I do remember, like, them teaching you, like, there's going to be some, like, shady man waiting outside the playground who's going to try to get you to do drugs and get you addicted. No, that's not the case. Like, I don't know any drug dealers that are waiting around to get,
like,
kids.
Like, opening
kids
up their jacket. Like,
yeah, like, kids don't got money.
Right.
Like.
Well, certainly now.
No, kids don't have money to buy drugs.
No.
Okay, but I did graduate with honors from DARE. I think everyone graduates with honors at DARE. Uh-huh. I remember learning the little jingle or the song. I don't remember it now. I remember having the T-shirt, the DARE to keep kids off drugs T-shirt. But I also do remember when we were learning about it because they lumped alcohol into it as well.
Right.
Like, don't do drugs and don't do alcohol. But I do remember, like, as a kid, even remembering, like, yeah, I'm not going to do drugs or alcohol as a kid. Mm-hmm. But once I'm in college, I watch all these movies of like college. The college experience was like people going to keggers, people going to frat parties, people getting drunk, people doing drugs. And so I always kind of knew in the back of my head, like, I'm not going to do drugs or drink alcohol until I'm in college.
Right.
And until I'm a grown adult. And yeah, so yeah, I do. I do lots of drugs.
Lots.
And
tons.
Now that I'm older, I'm doing a lot more of these like pharmaceutical prescription drugs, you know, just to keep me healthy and to keep me going still, girl.
But it was always, you know, like smoking weed is the gateway and you're going to, and everyone I know who smokes weed and they're like, wow, I feel like coloring or like, I'm going to sew buttons on this. Like that's where it goes and it doesn't go anywhere for that. So I'm like, wouldn't you advocate for that? Like, wouldn't you want people to just get in a space where they're just chill and then creative? Like, you would think that people would love that. I feel like I would want that, but I know that my experience, like, was always in college, and that was, like, I just became, like, really, like, nervous about everything, and I was like, the cops are here, and, like, that was always, I tell people that because that's the truth. That's really, so I wasn't, but I, you know, it's all different now. Everyone says that it's more, you can pick and you can choose. And I felt like back in the day, it was just kind of like, here's a bag of fucking dirt weed. Everyone enjoy
everyone
yourself.
Gather around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's stuff it in this like bong I made out of an apple.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'm all for trying new experiences. I mean, but everything is fine in moderation. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I know the thing about it is that there's a lot of drugs out there that are addictive, right. incredibly addictive, right. and can ruin people's lives. You know, like right now, like in the LGBT or the especially the gay community, like meth is like such a terrible drug because mm-hmm. it's now it's being used because a lot of people are combining it with sex, and like we're such a sex driven, you know, community or culture, so they think that like, oh, I have to like do this meth and then I'm gonna blah blah right. blah, but it's so addictive. So I understand like why we need to be very careful about it, but I'm also you know, like everything is, I feel like everything is fine experiencing in moderation. You know what I mean? Like I know that like McDonald's is not healthy for me, but bitch, I'm in that drive-thru at least once a week trying right. to get me that super flat cheeseburger and oh, some nuggets, yeah. you know?
What sauce do you have with your nuggets?
I'm Asian, so I use the sweet and sour.
Uh-huh.
I think that's like that was always the dipping sauce that my mom would get for us.
Uh-huh.
And so that's just like nostalgia. Like, I do like a ranch.
Mm-hmm.
I will tolerate a barbecue mm-hmm. for other thing. I do not like honey mustard for some reason. I don't know.
I mean, but you've been spending a lot of time in the Philippines. Have you had an interesting food experience in that time that you've not had before?
Okay, so we're segueing from drugs to now delicious Filipino food.
Which is my drug.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Oh, see, that yeah. everything in moderation, girl. Yeah.
Well...
or
or not.
Or not.
I'm addicted. I'm addicted. I'm addicted. I'm a dick pig. I'm a dick pig.
Oh,
addicted. Addicted. Not dick pig.
I'm a dick pig.
That too. Uh-huh.
I like eating lots and lots of dick too. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Food items. Oh yeah, I the food for some reason in the Philippines is like, I don't know, it just tastes better.
Oh, I think everywhere it probably
tastes better.
I don't
know what
it everywhere
maybe?
Food is better.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I went to Popeyes in the Philippines when I was filming season one of Drag Den.
Mm-hmm.
It was still kind of like under lockdown, so like I couldn't really go anywhere, but there was a Popeyes chicken underneath where the condo that they housed me in, and bitch, I love me some Popeyes. Like okay. I am always, if someone says you want to go eat a Popeyes, I'm like yes.
Uh-huh.
You know, give me a big ass fucking sweet tea, fuck the cup. Just get me the jug.
Right. Because
I'll take some of that home.
Sit inside of it and drink your way out.
Yes. I love these Popeyes. But when I went to the Philippines, I was like, bitch, the Popeyes there is like, it just hits different.
Okay.
I don't know what.
Are there different items or kind of similar?
Well, they do. Like every fast food restaurant in the Philippines, or not every, but most fast food restaurants in the Philippines, the sides are different. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, you can get fries. Yeah, you can get the potatoes and the gravy. But they also have spaghetti.
I'm down for that.
It's good. I'm not gonna lie. It's a different experience, but like once you, it's not a hard thing to like be like, oh okay. It's not right. what I was expecting, but this is still good.
I was really counting on you to say like, I was inside of this beautiful like cave that was full of uncut emerald gems. And I ate this like, there was a pig on a spit. And like people came down and washed your hand. Like I wasn't expecting Popeyes.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were gonna. It was gonna be something so glamorous.
No,
why do you let me down?
Well, usually when I'm in the Philippines, I'm working so much that like I'm in drag so much of the time that I'm not even hungry half the time because I'm like I got my makeup on. Mm-hmm. I don't want to eat. I don't like crumbs in my lipstick. So a lot of times when I'm in the Philippines and I'm working a lot, like I actually don't get to eat.
I don't like crumbs on my lipstick.
I hate it.
Because they won't come off.
No.
And then you put a napkin to like try to get them off. And then there's some sort of like hairs from
yeah,
the
fibers from yeah. from the paper napkin. No, I hate like of the all the makeup and all of the drag, the thing that I hate the most, it's the most uncomfortable, the first thing I want to take off is the lipstick.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's so gross, especially after a long day of drag. Because yeah. There's just something about, ooh. And have you ever had it like when you start to like your skin starts to peel?
It's happening now.
It's because it has like, you have this moisturizing, like cream based, like thing sitting on your, on top of your lips. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just like, it just softens all the dead skin. So, you know, you, I never remember to like exfoliate.
I never do either. And I have all these products, you know, people will give you like a free something to try out. And, but I recently invested in a lot of different liquid lipsticks, which are so many years ago. Like I jumped on that trend way too late. And now I'm using them. And then I'll put gloss over them and it makes it even worse. So then it's like clumpy and peely and skin. And I just, let's take a break and go do some lip scrubs because I can feel it.
Yeah, like just talking about it is making my lips like feel so nasty.
Let's take a break.
Desk though.
So she, the girl that did this, found this desk on Craigslist, and it was completely and totally like busted. This was all glass. It was in like a salon somewhere, and she replaced all of this, put all the hardware, painted it, added all this to it. Like if you look at the back when we're done.
Wow.
She's amazing. She's amazing.
I love it. I love the set.
It's fun, right?
Yeah.
They went all out for me. It's really, yeah. Really cool.
It fits your vibe.
Thanks. And we are back with Manila Luzon. We're talking about vibes and vibology. Okay. Do you know the vibology? You got that vibology, that V-I-B-E-ology. This is the part of the show that we call Read Me Delta. People send in questions, queries, sometimes commentary. And if you send in your commentary, you know, we're just going to throw it out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we only want your questions.
We only want the questions. Why are you so terrible? Right. That's what the question is. Like, do they they send it to you in the mail? Do you have a P.O. box?
They send it to me in the mail.
Oh.
And like the most... Some people can send them to readmedelta@gmail.com.
Okay.
But some people will send them just like that. Isn't that beautiful? And I love beautiful stationery. I love my collection of letter openers.
I see. This is like legit. Like there's no postage stamp, which means that this was hand delivered.
We don't speak to people who have no manners.
Ah, so this was like presented by someone. Hiri, you have been given this letter.
I like the word presented.
Yes.
Do you ever see like romance novels that like try to not use too overtly sexual things, so they'll say like she presented herself to him. Yeah. He showed her his sex.
Oh, I like that.
I like it too.
Wait, so do you read? Well, I mean, you read these letters, but do you and you read? But you read like grocery store romance novels?
I've written flash fiction like that.
You've written?
I've written sexually erotic flash fiction.
I kind of love that.
Yeah.
Now, did the cover of your flash fiction have that like that hole cut out?
It was never
of the
published.
Book cover?
It was never published. I just only went on my Patreon and read it.
Oh.
Yeah. And read it, not read it.
Ah.
Read.
You went onto your Patreon and you read out loud. Mm-hmm.
People come to my Patreon for several different pieces of content, and I have more than one, but they're different names.
Do you present your sex on your Patreon?
Well, on certain ones, I just can't tell you which one it is. You have to dig around and find
it. Oh, you have to dig around in there. Okay.
It can be found, though, for yes. Lovers who love other lovers.
I see, yeah. I see.
Dearest Delta and fantastic guest.
That's me.
What are your retail fart spaces? Let me explain. Whenever I'm browsing in a thrift store, something in my mind and body recognizes the space as one of my comfort and safety spots. I start to relax. I go into a zen state and consequently start to fart. And I fart a lot. This also happens to me at Marshall's, Dollar Tree, and Barnes & Noble.
Oh, especially Barnes & Noble.
Is this a universal human experience or is it just me? If this happens to you or your guest, what are some of your retail fart spaces? Regards, Maya Butt Reeks.
Actually, I
live for this letter.
I don't know if it was an article or a YouTube video, but there was a study that was shown that people that go to bookstores, there's something about going to a bookstore that makes you have to shit. I experience this anytime I go to Santee Alley or like the garment district downtown LA. All of a sudden I have to go. And you know, because you've been there, there are no toilets. Mm-mm. There's nowhere to go. You can pay $2. There's like one restroom that you have to pay $2, and it is the nastiest. Like, even Britney Spears wouldn't take her shoes off in this place.
Right.
Like, it is the nastiest, like, public restroom, and you have to pay to use it. But yeah, I experience like my gastrointestines like functioning extra hard when I go shopping.
Well, I've been toying around with the idea of writing a book about how to find a restroom quickly, anywhere, wherever you are. And I know of many in downtown that are quite clean. They are $2, but they're hidden. And I also know of some fabric spots that don't mind letting you use their restroom. And you'd be surprised to find out where they are and how friendly they are. This doesn't really happen to me. I would like to say that it does. It doesn't. I actually don't mind ripping ass anywhere. I really don't.
Just crop
and
dust.
One of my favorite things to do is to do it in an aisle of like a store, like in Target, and then push down to the other aisle. That way I can hear someone talking about it, and they're like, dang, someone busted ass over here. It fucking stinks. And then I'll come around the corner and I'll go, oh my goodness, someone, oh my God, that's not nice, is it? I think a fart is hilarious. I think it's funny. Now, I don't want to do it at a restaurant.
No.
I have before, though, been performing. And had the feeling of like a rumbling. And I can usually tell when it's going to be a warning shot or an actual attack. I usually, not always, and you know, not always. But,
oh, no, I don't
but
trust
99%
that.
Of the time.
I don't trust that.
And so I've been by people that have been like really cunty or shady at a show. You know those people that just kind of look at you like, oh, who does she think she is? And you're like not doing anything, but like just doing what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
But they have to throw shade because they're like, oh, I expected you to, you know, come out of the ceiling or whatever. And you're like, you're not getting that when you're getting two numbers at wherever. It's just not going to happen. And I'll walk by their table and just rip it because they don't know. They don't fucking know.
They don't see you walk past and then like a second later they
smell
it?
No, because they think it's one of their friends at the table. I don't give a rat's ass.
Well, I would say my butt stinks. I think like probably like the safest place to fart in like retail would probably be like, I don't know, like maybe like the perfume section of a department store.
I don't like hearing you say fart. Like pass gas or
asqueef.
I know you as a really crazy person. Like, I know you as super fun and irreverent.
Yes.
But whenever I look at you in drag, I mean, I know, I like I said, blowing smoke up someone's ass or out their ass, but you're just always elegant to me. You know, I really think that. And so when I hear you say fart, I'm like, I only want to hear you say that out of drag.
Ah, I like that because it's like you don't expect it from something so glamorous. But I also like to like... I like to have my privacy, you know what I mean?
Who does it like this?
I don't know.
A girl.
Well, wow.
Wow. You know what? You don't want your letter read. You want to get read. Girl, I swear to God. Okay, let's see. Okay. We've had a little shakeup here with different staffing. And so sometimes things are, you know, we record. Sometimes we try to bank an episode in case there's a situation like the eye or what happened last time you were here.
Oops.
You know, so we had to shake it up
okay.
a little bit. Hi, Delta and Manila.
Oh, that's me.
I hate children, but I am a bisexual cis woman with a straight male partner having a baby.
Oh, no.
Don't worry, though. This baby is in good hands because I'm very excited for it. I refuse to be a parent who actually believes that the world has to stop spinning for their kid. I'm expecting judgment for my future parenting skills from the straight trads. I believe that people, especially in the U.S., underestimate the intelligence and capability of their children, i.e., ordering food at restaurants to the waiter or waitress, when that child can fully talk and order their little ass kid's meal on their own. As an observer, what is a skill or a few that you wish parents would learn before having children? Love you, Delta. Love you, Manila. Very mother. New mother. Skills that parents should know before being a parent.
I don't know. I'm probably not the person to be giving any kind of parental advice because I too don't like children. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I personally love shopping for like baby shower gifts. I love seeing little baby outfits and matching things up and buying the little, you know, my cousin just had a baby shower and it didn't dawn on me that I was like, oh my gosh, I need to buy mittens because, you know, you have to put like mittens on the baby so they don't scratch themselves or hurt themselves. And I don't know how long you keep those on. I actually should be putting mittens on with lotion or some kind of cream because my hands, you know what I mean?
They get
dry. Let me see your hands. See, look how pretty your hands are. No, they're not. They're nice-ish.
They're nice.
They're cute. Your feet are better, I think, probably.
Oh, she's into that too. But that costs extra on my Patreon.
It costs extra.
But you have to dig around for that.
Oh, you got to dig me out for that. this is what I think. I think we're all experiencing everything that we experience in real time. So everything that we do is our first time doing it, you know? What you have to learn is to be gentle with yourself because it's your first time being a parent in as much as it's their first time being a baby. So, I mean, I think really allow yourself to make
What if you have other kids? Like, what if
it's not fuck your first... Yeah, fuck off. You should have learned.
You already done this, girl.
Yeah. You know what's weird to me is like when you see like all the Karen videos now, just because, especially because of TikTok or Instagram, when people like go somewhere and they're like, I have a baby, like, and they like get upset about something and it's like, okay, so that means there's no more rules, or that means that like people will say, well, I'm traveling with so-and-so and my kids are here and you should move your seat on an airplane because...
No,
I shouldn't. Now, it might be different if there were other tons of open seats. But if I purposely bought a seat by a window...
Yeah.
And you want me to now move into a middle seat, where do you like to sit on the plane?
I like to sit by the window. Because I know that, you know, like I have long legs and sometimes people say like oh, if I'll have more room in the aisle. But like, no, that you don't because you're going to be if you're spilling out into the aisle, like you actually can't be in the aisle because you'll get bumped by like the cart or people will trip on you or like everyone like just elbows you in the head. I don't like that. Also, I don't want to like have to get up for someone who has to pee. Mm-hmm. I would prefer me to be like, hey, everyone, get up. I have to pee. Mm-hmm. Like, I would rather be the one that's in charge of that. You know what I mean? As opposed to be like, I'm like watching the Avengers movie and I got my earbuds in and I'm like really getting to a part and I have to stop it because like the person next to me now wants to, like now they have to pee. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I would rather be the person that's like, I'm going to pee now. Everyone has to get up now.
We are going on a trip soon, and we were talking about the logistics of it. And myself, Big Dipper, Meatball, and we were trying to imagine the three of us in one row.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't think that could ever work.
No, you know what I mean? No, you should all get separate rows.
Separate planes.
Yeah. Separate planes.
You're working on the new Alaska musical.
Oh yeah, I'm super excited. Yeah, this month I'm doing Drag the Musical. They're doing another run of the show at the Bourbon Room in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And it stars Alaska, Nick Adams, who is so talented. He's a huge star on Broadway and he's done film and TV. And so he's also one of the leads. Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block is in the show. And it's like kind of surreal because like I grew up watching
the right stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So he's in it. But also Jujubee's in it.
Mm.
Jan, she's in it. Laguna, she's in it. People, however they choose to identify, can buy the tickets at the website below. It might be in the description. It might. They might even have a budget for graphics on Very Delta. I'm assuming they do. Maybe they don't. Just come to
fucking Google it. If you want to fucking go,
yeah.
Fucking show your love.
Show your love. I mean, it's
shit.
Really
I don't
cool.
have to fucking do everything.
Well, I think it's really great because it's a new original musical. It's not based on a freaking Mean Girls movie or a Legally Blonde movie. It's not like just using the music from Green Day. It's like real. It's written in part by Alaska. She wrote the book and some of the music. So, I mean, it's really good. I'm excited to be in it.
I love it.
Yeah. So go check it out.
Can we tip the girls?
Yes, I don't care if I'm in the middle of my solo number. You can give me dollars. I'll accept pesos, too.
Thank you for being here. For the second time.
With the cameras on, hopefully.
Yeah, this is all going to be great. Thank you all so much for listening and watching Very Delta. Our show comes out every Monday. Well, most Mondays. Search for Very Delta on your favorite podcast apps to listen to the audio-only version if you can't take all this beauty all in one day. You can also sign up for our premium offerings on Mom Plus Gold by visiting mompodcast.plus, where you get weekly episodes of more Very Delta. And don't forget to send all of your questions to readmedelta@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Instagram @DeltaWork and follow you...
to hell. No, at Manila Luzon on all social media platforms. Except for TikTok. But, you know, you can find me there.
Until next week, keep things very Delta. To listen to Very Delta ad-free, a day early, and to get access to more Very Delta, sign up for Mom Plus Gold at mompodcast.plus. Very Delta is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom, hosted by Delta Work. Production supervision and engineering by Margot Padilla. Editing and post-production by Doug Robertson, with original theme music by Will Pitts. Executive produced by Willem, Alaska, Big Dipper, Camille Stennis, and Joe Cilio. Those of you who think I look better when I look younger can go fuck yourself. You should be watching or listening to another podcast, because here we wear what makes us feel good, not what makes you feel seen. So go fuck yourself if you don't like it. Guess what? Fucking chicken butt. Guess what? I don't give a fuck. Bring your homie too. Let his ass fuck while I'm sucking you. How about that? Fucking dumbass. You fucking reading people from your fucking mom's basement? Fucking freeloading Wi-Fi and electricity from somebody's fucking trailer and you're gonna read? Are you serious? Are you in there? That's not very anything. That's very full of shit.
Mom!
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.